How many have heard Pastor Chris preach before? Have you heard? Yeah? Okay, so most of us. As I mentioned, he is the president of Elam Fellowship, which our church is a part of. It's not a denomination per se, it's a fellowship, and there are differences, which I won't get into now, between a denomination and a fellowship, but that's kind of our umbrella, so to speak, over our church here at CLCC. He sent out, he emailed, I guess to all the credential holders recently, a New Year's, or I guess it's like a holiday greeting. And he really emphasizes what he believes God is showing him to be kind of the theme for Elam Fellowship in 2020. And it's just a short, quick, four-minute video. And I want us to watch that because this prophetic declaration that I feel like God is leading me to make today, this ties in with it, and there's another prophecy that I want to share as well. So, Andrew, without any further ado, if you would cut the lights, and this is Pastor Chris Ball.
I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas holiday. I know we're still in that holiday, but I wanted to take a minute and just greet you before we cross over into the new year. I just want to say it's been an amazing Christmas. I've taken a considerable amount of time to pray through the last week. And earlier in the week, before Christmas, I was under like a spiritual attack. I felt like there was a spiritual warfare going on. And I found myself praying for a good part of 2 days and got a breakthrough. And I just since then have felt this amazing openness. And I just wanted to share my heart with you a little bit as you step into next year. I just want to say how much we really appreciate you here at Elam Fellowship. God is doing some amazing things. Just this past Saturday, I had the opportunity to pray, and I was in my living room just kind of looking actually on the internet, and I found myself at the Elam Fellowship website, and then I went into the members directory. And God, it wasn't planned, but God began to put it on my heart and stirred in me to pray for each one of you by name. I looked through every single one of your pictures. Some of you don't have a picture on there, and I still prayed for you and your family. And so it was like over 960 people that I prayed for in a short period of time. And I just wanted to encourage you that God is going to do something great for you this coming year. As you know by now, the theme for 2020 is It's Time. Back in October, I was studying and asking God to show me what was he saying as we were looking forward into the next year. And he took me to the book of Esther, where Mordecai was addressing Esther and said to her, "Listen, Esther, maybe it's because of this time right now you were created for something great in the kingdom." And it began to just gel inside of my heart. And I said, that's what I believe about Elam Fellowship. It's our time. It's our day. I would imagine in 2020, people are going to see this season as a time of transition. But God has called us to hold steady. He's telling us, hold steady and be ready, because I'm ready to pour out my spirit. I personally feel that we're waiting for a great awakening and preparing for a great awakening, positioning ourselves for a great move of God. I'm believing for that. And I just want you to know, Elam Fellowship is not an organization, it's a movement. It's individuals just like you who I believe God wants to bring collectively together for a great cause, a greater cause than what we can do alone. And He will do something great in us. I'm believing for you this year. I just want you to know how much we love you, we care about you, and we're praying for you. And before I go, I just, last night, Carol and I were spending some time together, and we came across a quote by Winston Churchill. This quote was read during the time of a great fog in England, and he was referring back to when he was 24 years old when he read this quote during the wartime, and this is what he said. "Hear this, young men and women everywhere, and proclaim it far and wide. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Be kind, but be fierce. You are needed now more than ever before. Take up that mantle of change, for this is your time. For this is your time." I want to say that about you. Take up the mantle of change. Be ready to hold steady. Stand strong, for this is your time. I want to wish you all a happy new year. May God do great and extraordinary things in your life.
Amen. Does that stir something in you when you hear Pastor Chris say, take up your mantle, it's time? That makes me think that it's not time to lounge. It's not time to wait. It's not time to hold back. It's not time to say, oh, we have years until then. It gives me a sense of urgency, right? It's time. It's time. It's time. Pastor Steve recently shared a prophecy that a man from, I believe, Alabama, I guess Charisma Magazine, had shared this vision, actually, that this man named JoJo Dawson had. And I want to just briefly kind of go through it, because I think you'll see how it kind of echoes and is in very much the same vein as what Pastor Chris just shared with us on this short video. So JoJo Dawson had this vision. He said, I recently had a vision where I was walking down a long hallway. I had a great expectancy as I kept walking down this hallway. I noticed that there were doors all along its sides, some to the right and some to the left. Again, as I kept walking, I felt an excitement and joy began to build. I kept walking straight ahead and came to a door directly in front of me. I felt the Lord say, this is your door. So I opened the door, and as I walked through it, I came upon another door. I opened it and walked through the next door, and another door opened to me. This happened many times. I kept opening door after door, one right after another. Then I heard the Lord say, there are so many people who have been patient in the process, walking with me for years, and they have been waiting on the right time and the right door to be opened for them. They've prayed about the doors they have come across and have been faithful to stay out of the wrong doors and opportunities. But now I am leading many into the right place at the right time, and the right doors are opening for them. Can you see how that kind of goes along with what Pastor Chris is sharing with? It's time. It's time. The Lord is opening doors that maybe we've prayed about for years. You know, and it's been painful at times in that, being in that process, being fashioned by the potter, so to speak, you know, being that clay on that wheel, and he's shaping us and he's fashioning us and he's making us into that vessel that he wants us to be. Sometimes that's not easy. That's tough. But that season is over. The Lord is opening doors for us. He goes on to say, God was showing me in this vision that this is not just a season for one door to be open for people. Instead, this is a season of multiplied doors. God is sending open doors to you, one right after another. Not just one door, but multiple doors. Many people are waiting for God to open one door. God doesn't just want to open one door for you. He wants to open multiple doors for you in this season. You don't have to look for doors of opportunity. Open doors will find you. You don't have to ask for favor. The favor of God will find you. Here's the key. If you are faithful to stay in the secret place of fasting, prayer, and seeking the Lord, God will open doors for you. You won't have to go looking or knocking on doors. As you stay humble and walk in humility, God will open doors for you that you can't even imagine. When you walk through each door, you will have the insight to be able to manage and steward what is on the other side of each one. I'm going to close with just this couple of sentences here. The Lord spoke to me and said, everything from your past, every pain, trouble, blessing, hard season, great season, all of your education and training will make sense and help you as you walk through the doors. I saw this like a funnel, which starts out with a wide opening and becomes narrow at the bottom. I saw this season like a funnel of everything in the past coming together and leading up to this moment for many people. As you enter this incredible season of multiple doors, never forget it was the Lord who opened the doors for you and gave you the strength to walk through the doors. God is pouring out divine insight and wisdom to those that will walk through these multiple doors. Get ready, my friends. Your long walk through the hallway of closed doors is about to end. Door after door after door is going to be open for the people of God in this season. Your season of multiplication, acceleration, and your season of numerous doors being opened for you is here, and it's coming. I say amen to that. It's time. God's opening doors. Not just a door, but multiple doors. I hope this stirs something in us. You know, at the beginning of the year, it's just kind of natural for us to kind of look, you know, to the rest of the year and kind of think about how it might go or what might be in store for us or maybe what goals we have or what we'd like to accomplish. And, you know, I don't think that God necessarily works on a calendar year basis like we do. He works in seasons. You know, but this is a natural time for us to kind of reflect on where we've been and where we're going and what is God saying to us now in this season. And I believe these are some of the things that God is speaking to his people. It's time. I'm opening multiple doors for you. And I believe what I've heard the Lord say is that we are in a season of upgrades. We are in a season of upgrades. Now, what do I mean by upgrade? Just a very just simple definition would be your situation is better after than it was before. An upgrade, right? Years ago, Trish and I, we renovated our kitchen, you know? And we took out the yellow 1970s countertops. We were all glad to see them go bye-bye, and we brought in something that was more current, right? And we got rid of all the mismatched appliances, and we got nice stainless steel appliances. They all matched and everything, and we painted the cupboards a different color, and we got new hardware for the doors, new handles and stuff, and we upgraded our kitchen, and when we were done doing all the work, the kitchen was better than it was before. We upgraded, right? I believe that we are in a season of upgrades. It's time. He's opening doors for us, and he's bringing upgrades for us as we press into him and see the areas that he wants to bring upgrades in. Amen? You know, some of these upgrades, I believe, are just, we're going to do very little. There's going to be little activity on our part, and God's just supernaturally going to do it. Some of you know I hit a deer, or rather, a deer hit me, you know, a couple months ago here on the Rittner Highway, leaving church, going up, you know, Route 11 here, and this big doe, out of nowhere, like a bullet, just bam, right into my car as I'm doing 55 down the highway here. And, of course, you can imagine the damage that was done to my poor little Acura, and, it was so bad that the insurance company decided to total it. The estimate was like almost $6,000, and so they just totaled it. Well, so I'm thinking, great. Here it is, coming up on Thanksgiving. Just what I want to be doing during the holidays. I want to go car shopping. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's top of my list. And so I had been speaking with Pastor Steve about it. He came back to me. He said, Kurt, I've been praying about this. And I feel like you're supposed to share this situation with your bosses. And so I did. I felt like he had heard from the Lord that witnessed in my spirit. I went into work the next day, and I just shared. I have two bosses. One's about 5-6 years older than me. And wouldn't you know it, it just so happened that he had a friend whose mother had passed away earlier this year, and they had been trying to sell her 2008, same year as my car, Infiniti, for a few months, and they hadn't been able to sell it. So my one boss hooked me up with his buddy that was trying to sell this car. And I went and checked it out. It was an upgrade from my car. I liked my car. I really liked it. But this car had some bells and whistles on it that my car didn't have. And this car, get this, same year had 60,000 less miles on it than my car did. Whoop, whoop, yeah. And the guy was willing to sell it to me at a very reasonable price. And God was in the process of giving me an upgrade. I stepped forward and committed to buy this car. Now, my other boss was so excited for me and wanted to help be a part of it that she literally gave me one-third of the purchase price of this car. Come on! We are, you know why? Because we're in a season of upgrades. We're in a season of upgrades. Now, that's kind of a simple example, and, you know, I wasn't disappointed with my old car, but I'm thrilled to have this new car. I'm thrilled to have this upgrade. That's not the only level, though, that God wants to bring upgrades. Amen? I just was able to pray with somebody recently, and he was saying, the cry of my heart, Kurt, is to experience more of God. I want to have deeper times of intimacy with Jesus. Do you think the Lord will give him an upgrade? Amen. How many marriages need an upgrade? Right? How many relationships need an upgrade? How many of us need an upgrade in our zeal for the Word of God? How many of us need an upgrade in our passion for getting in that place of prayer? We need upgrades all over the place. And the Lord is saying, you're in a season of upgrades. I'm giving this to you. It's my pleasure to give it to you. And some of these upgrades are going to come to us as easy as that new car was for me. I did very little in the process, right? And it's right out there in the parking lot right now. I did very little. Now, for some of us, the upgrades that the Lord wants to bring in our lives, He will ask us to participate at a higher level than what I did with the upgrade with my car. Trish and I have some friends that their marriage was all but bankrupt years ago. Nobody here at the church or anything, so I'm not like talking about anybody here. But we care about these friends, and we cared about their marriage, and you know, we invited them to go to a marriage conference with us, and both were just kind of almost like rolling their eyes when we first mentioned it, and but they did eventually agree to go to this conference with us, although their expectation level was very low, okay, because there just had been so much kind of water under the bridge, so to speak, and they just were at such a bad place. They had really little to no expectancy that this was really going to do anything, you know? But for them, that was a huge step. That was a huge way that they participated in their eventual upgrade. Because can I tell you, by the end of that marriage retreat weekend, this couple, they both were in tears in each other's arms, recommitting themselves to each other. Now, they didn't have all the problems solved. There were still issues that they needed to work on, but they were at a much better place than they were at the beginning. They had an upgrade in their marriage, and they were going in a much better direction than they were before that weekend. The Lord, as they were willing to step into this thing and take action and participate in what He was doing, they received an upgrade. Now, it took more effort on their part than it did on my part for the car. You see what I'm saying? The point is, sometimes God just supernaturally comes and boom, we got it. And sometimes He asks us to walk with Him through this process and participate, even when it's scary, even when it's challenging, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. And He says, my grace is sufficient. You know, I was recently on a hike, and I felt like the Lord said to me, Kurt, would you willingly, if you were a military leader, would you willingly go into battle knowing that you don't have enough soldiers, knowing that you don't have enough weapons, knowing that you don't have enough resources for what you need for this upcoming battle? Would you willingly go into that situation? And I said, well, of course, no. And then He said, would you willingly do it if I asked you to do it, and though you were at a deficit, I said I would make up the difference, would you do it then? I said, yes, I would. Would it be easy? I don't know about that. Would it be challenging? Would it be scary at times? Probably so. You know, ask Gideon about it, right? But if he said, I'll make up the difference, and he was showing me, that's an example of my grace is sufficient. And sometimes as he asks us to participate in receiving these fabulous upgrades that he has for us, we might feel like we're walking into battle and I don't have the stuff that I need. But he's saying, I'll make up the difference. My grace is sufficient. Don't you love that? I love that. Will you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? You know, notes are a great thing, and you know, you should probably look at them every once in a while. You know what I mean? So here we are, the first Sunday in January 2020. We've just come through this wonderful season of Thanksgiving, this wonderful season of Christmas, and I want to read a passage that we just heard really not too long ago of when the angel comes to visit Mary. So if you're all at Luke chapter 1, I'll start in verse 26. It says, now in the sixth month, this is talking about Elizabeth, her cousin, Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And of course, this is still probably fresh in some of our minds because we just heard it at Christmas time. There's some good things that the Lord wants to show us here today. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now he's saying this to this teenage virgin who's about to be married. You're going to have a son. Okay, how's that? What's that look like? And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now here comes some questions. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Remember, this was Elizabeth, who was past the years of childbearing. And whenever she was in childbearing years, she wasn't able to have a child anyway. And now that ship has sailed, and in the natural, she's not going to have any children. And the angel amazingly says, that's the person, that's the woman that's going to get an upgrade, that's going to have a son. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. This is what we've been getting to. For with God, nothing will be impossible. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, but I love Mary's response. Then Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What an example. What a shining example. You know, the word of the Lord just seems like there's no way possible that could happen. But God, if you're saying it, I'm on board with it. Let it be unto me according to your word. Listen, we're in a season of upgrades. And I know some people might hear that and say, Kurt, if you only knew what was going on in my life right now, you might change your tune a little bit. I know. All hell could be breaking loose. But if God says it's a season of upgrades, let's be like Mary and say, let it be unto me according to your word. I don't understand how it could possibly happen, but God, if you're saying I can have this upgrade, I'm saying yes and amen to it. You with me? And this is what we can kind of bank on, if I can put it that way. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I was listening to a Bill Johnson sermon recently, and he was sharing about this verse. He had had, I think it was Jack Taylor, come to his church and preach, and Jack Taylor referenced this verse and went into it a little bit in the Greek. He said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. That word nothing in the Greek is two words, no and rhema. No rhema is nothing in the Greek. And rhema refers to a freshly spoken word of God. Isn't that interesting? So we could read that verse this way. We could kind of restate it this way. For with God, no freshly spoken word of God will be impossible. If the Lord's saying, it's time, is that impossible? No, because no freshly spoken word of God will be impossible. If the Lord's saying, I'm going to open multiple doors right in front of you, I say we start shouting and getting excited about it, right? Because no freshly spoken word of God will be impossible. Then he further went on and he talked about that word impossible. And again, if you go back to the original language, that what that means is without ability. Without ability. So we could kind of restate the whole verse this way. We could say, for with God, no freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. Come on. Is that good or what? No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. It's a living word. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. Bill Johnson told this story then about the power of a freshly spoken word of God. He had I think it was Dick Joyce come preach at his church in Weaversville years ago, gone way back. And so Dick Joyce is preaching. In the middle of his sermon, he stops, calls a young man out of the congregation, and he prophesies over him. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to lead many to the Lord. And just, I mean, on and on and on, prophesies over this young man who, unbeknownst to him, just got saved like 2 weeks earlier. And so this just like blew him away. I mean, because he had never experienced anything like this before. But Dick Joyce gave him that freshly spoken word of God. So he was, you know, blown away by it. Later that week at his job with a logging company, he was running this big piece of equipment. And I imagine it was some kind of rig, and I don't know if it was a crane or what, but there was a mishap. And a huge log cut loose, came through the windshield of the cab, and pinned him to the back of this cab. And he couldn't breathe, and it was bad. And it was only him and another guy at this job site, and they didn't have a chainsaw there because they weren't cutting any trees down. And they needed a chainsaw to get him loose from this log that had him lodged against the back of this cab. So the other guy had to leave the site, go someplace else, get a chainsaw, come back. By the time he gets back, the guy's face is black because he hasn't had oxygen for quite a long time. Guy cuts the log out, takes it out, gets him out. The paramedics get there, rush him to the hospital. He's hooked up to all kinds of monitors and machines and, you know, heart stuff, breathing stuff. I mean, the whole nine yards. He's in bad shape. And, you know, the doctors didn't have much hope for him there. His parents were able to get him to another hospital that had better equipment, and they were able to give him a little bit more care, but still the prognosis was pretty bad and hooked up to, you know, just gobs of stuff, you know. So Pastor Bill comes. And, you know, the guy is just in a coma. He's not responsive. You know, it's not like they had a nice little friendly conversation and Bill said, I'm going to pray for you. This guy was out, and really they're not sure if he's even going to make it. Then Bill remembered the word that Dick Joyce gave this young man about a week earlier. And he said to him, everything's going to be okay. Now again, this kid, he can't hear him, right? He's out. He's in a coma. But here's the power of the word. He says, everything's going to be okay because the Lord has said, you're going to be an evangelist. And as best he could, he begins to prophesy that freshly spoken word that Dick Joyce had just spoken over him about a week ago. And there was no response. There was no nothing. Didn't look like anything had changed. He prayed blessing over him and walked out of the hospital. And Sunday morning, the next morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, he gets a call. And the young man is out of the coma. He's sitting up in bed. He's eating. He's going to be fine. He's going to be great. Listen, why? Because no freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. The power of that word brought the upgrade that that young man needed. Amen? When God speaks something to us, I hope we don't just walk out the door and say, boy, didn't we have a good day in church today? Wasn't that nice what Pastor Steve said? No, this is life-changing stuff, right? This is the Word of God. This is the freshly spoken Word of God. It contains its own ability to perform itself. We're in a season of upgrades. Multiple doors are going to be open. It's time. Amen? Those, I would say, are freshly spoken words of God that contain its own ability to perform itself. So let's get expecting. Let's get in partnership with that in our faith. Let's get in agreement with it. Let's raise our level of expectation. Let's not just walk out the door. Yeah, let's just not walk out the door and say, well, I guess it's going to be the same old in 2020. No, it's not going to be the same old. We're in a season of upgrades. Yes! Do it, Lord! Do it, Lord! Upgrades! Love it! Okay, I'm going to... Oh, I'm really going to close. Let's turn to Luke 17. And I'm going to be very brief as we wrap things up. This is an important part of what we're talking about this morning. Luke 11... In this passage, well, let me just kind of explain it. This is the passage where there were 10 lepers. Jesus is walking into the city, and of course, these lepers have to be separate by law because they're unclean. They have leprosy. I mean, literally, you know, without going into it, body parts could be falling off. That's what leprosy does to a person. And so they have to be secluded from the rest of the people. And they're calling out to the Lord for him to heal them. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests. Remember this? And so on the way there, they realize they received healing, right? And one who was a Samaritan came back to Jesus and threw himself down at his feet and began to glorify God. And let's pick it up here in verse 17. This is what Jesus had to say about that situation. This amazing miracle that happened. I mean, 10 lepers. 10 lepers. Leprosy was the cancer of the day, you know? Like, there's no going back once you have a leprosy diagnosis. This is, you know, impossible, but God. So they get healed, the one comes back. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So what's the point? Let's walk in an attitude of, it's kind of cliche to say, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving. Whenever God brings these upgrades, when He opens these doors, you know, it's time. Whenever stuff starts happening, let's walk in gratefulness. Let's walk in thankfulness. Let's never forget He's our source, right? He's the one that when we walked into battle at a deficiency, He's the one that made up the difference for us. It's His grace that was sufficient, and because of that, I'm grateful to you, Lord. Because of that, I'm thankful to you, Lord. Right? Let's walk in gratefulness and thankfulness as we're in this season of upgrades. Amen? Amen. And with that, I think that is all, and I will turn it over to you, Pastor Steve.
All right, well, let's stand. We have a choice.
There we go. We have a choice when we hear a word that we can just say, oh, that's nice, or we can step into it and make it a part of our lives. So let's just make some declarations today. Let's say, Father God, I believe you. I choose to step into those open doors. I am looking for and expecting upgrades. I extend my faith and choose to believe the truth that nothing is impossible with you, God. So we are expecting what seems to be the impossible to become possible. Thank you for opening doors. Thank you for upgrades. And folks, let's just move forward with expectation for that. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.